off the cuff. Hey there, Jed Coburn is here.
What the fuck happened? Dude, no, like, I can't take the abuse anymore.
But nobody's winning this fight.
No, I can't take
it. There is no win anymore.
My jaw, the thing that I'm fucking worried about is my jaw is still intact. It's not. Oh, you didn't start it?
Yeah, I heard the thing.
Okay,
I don't know.
Guys, I'm sorry. Yeah, the confusion is because I thought we started. Okay, Cody Skoke's dead.
Right.
All right, dude. We're on.
Yeah. Trying to stand this fucker up.
I know.
You'll probably hear a couple pops.
Totally all of a sudden that just kind of goes nuts.
Yeah, there'll be a couple pops on the mic, I suppose.
But before we get going, just remember, share it out.
Yeah,
let's start share with that tonight. Share it out. So we're putting the, some real dedication. Like today, I'm jam-packed full, so it was like, hey, what do you got going on? Can we squeeze it in between this time and this time?
Yeah, no, and I even got your message yesterday, and I wrote out a response and then never sent. I don't know what the fuck. My house is such dog shit lately for service.
Yeah.
Like, even I've got my own Wi-Fi, and it still is dog shit lately. I don't know what the fuck. It's just been, like, the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
You get zero service, zero Wi-Fi. Even if I'm on Instagram fucking scrolling and shit,
yeah,
I have to turn my Wi-Fi off.
Damn it.
And then, or else the videos will like stop halfway and shit. And like, so
and then just run and like sell.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that's about. But yeah, it's just weird. It didn't. Then like as soon as I got your next one.
Yeah.
When I opened up like my text messages or whatever. And I was sick the last couple of days too. Yep. I was in bed all fucking like Wednesday. I got sick. No, it was like Tuesday after work. I was walking out.
Yeah.
And I felt like. I've never in my life had to shit so suddenly than like that day. Like
damn.
I ran past the clock. And from then on for like the next day, I was just like, I felt like at any given chance, at any given moment, I could shit my fucking pants. Like anytime. It just felt like it was like a worry.
I laughed, but I know.
Dude, and I just kept on working. I kept on doing my thing. And then it happened to where it didn't touch my pants, but we were like, we had some cleanup to do. So I went and I just went up to HR like, hey, so I think I'm going to take off. Like I've got a very, like a very stern philosophy that as a grown man, and this is a grown people anywhere, men, women, if you shit yourself and you're not a kid, you deserve the day off, okay? Like, that's just facts. Unless you're an asshole and you just shit yourself on purpose.
Well,
there are them cases, I suppose. But, dude, as an adult, if you shit yourself, you get, like, it's traumatic, man. There's a lot involved.
Yep.
You got to shower. You got to fucking do laundry. Yep. It's not fun. And so whatever the fuck, luckily for the wife, it didn't touch my pants, so we're good to go. But then on Thursday, I tried again, and I went back to work, and it was still rugged. I just could not get myself out of it.
Yeah.
So I went home again, and then I was in bed from fucking Thursday at like 9 o'clock until this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I fucking slept the whole time off and on. Obviously, I would wake up. Kind of try to get out of bed, go to the bathroom, let the dog out or something like that. But Jess has been on double time doing her normal shit and then also taking care of Bradley and all that stuff. But no, and then when I woke up this morning, I seen you had messaged me again, but there was a little like a red apostrophe, you know what I mean?
The,
like that, letting me know it didn't send.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So then I fucking answered. All I got out was yup.
Yeah.
Yup.
Yeah,
we'll make it, man. We'll make it.
Dude, I've been on walking outside 75 hard. It's 45 minutes walking outside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if you come back inside, you have to reset your 45 minutes, right? So I've been outside on walks, and I'm like, oh, fuck. I gotta shit right now.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, but I can't.
Right,
I don't have enough time.
Make it another half hour. Right, suppose,
that's exactly right. I don't have time to reset the clock. Now, who would know, right?
Right.
Who would know?
You would know.
Fuck that.
Still.
So, I'm gonna, for the next half hour, I'm sweating. Like, I'm
The entirety of, like, that whole deal is, like, self-accountability.
That's exactly right. Like, mental toughness, for sure.
Yeah, you don't have anybody saying to you that you can't do this or that. You just, it's all self-accountability. But, dude,
when you're outside and you're in the right, because I walk in my circle, right? I walk in my turnaround. Uh-huh. And the house is right there. Or the woods are right there.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
Man, I could do both. But if you stop, it still doesn't count. You got to start over. And I'm like...
Even if you stop walking.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, who would know? But I would, right?
Like,
I'd be outside, but I'm not working out during taking a shit time, you know?
I mean, you burn calories, though. I mean, it's a fact. You burn calories sleeping. But, yeah. I mean.
I suppose.
But so, imagine? If it's a real hardcore shit, you can burn some serious calories.
Yeah,
you know, I've had them in my day where I left the bathroom sweating. Like, holy shit.
No, that's a legit thing. For sure. But I just figure, like, if I'm shitting in the woods and then all of a sudden Murphy gets a hold of every side, I'd be,
That'd be rough.
I just, I don't want any part of that.
Well, and then especially you can't even be mad at him. You got to be
all
mad
right.
at yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, fuck.
Yeah, that dog, he would find it. He's got, you know, he's a dog.
Right. Like, I mean, that's the same thing I'm dealing with right now. We were just talking about before this. It's like, I only can be mad at myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one of them situations.
Yeah.
That you can't even be pissed at anyone else but yourself.
Right.
But it still don't make it any better.
No.
Cleaning up that shit out of your fucking house or something. Because he tracked it in or something.
Right, right. No, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Never fun.
Damn it. Well, and this week, like, I started personal training the PWA.
Teams.
So everything's just really amped up. Like, I'm just busier than hell. But
hell yeah.
It was cool. These kids, you know, they work hard. The PWAB team, they want it just a little bit more, which is cool.
Right.
Like, these are the younger guys.
Yeah.
They want it just a hair more, and I can see it. But I'm hoping this A team pulls it through, too. Like, to get some good results.
Well, I suppose, like, the B team wants to make it to the A team.
I think,
so they're trying to fucking show that they belong in that A team. So I suppose, but the A team already has it, so they think that they got it nipped and tucked.
I think, that's a pretty good thought process. That's probably true, where they're just like, whatever.
Well, fuck, man. Nobody that plays a sport wants to be in the B team, you know? Like, everyone wants to be top-notch and shit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they're just doing it to make their parents happy, I guess. But,
Right. And I think a lot of how they operate as PWB is like, it is like the fifth. The sixth graders, like, only. And then the PWA is like seventh and eighth graders. So it goes by age.
Yeah.
But if you're good enough.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but
them
skilled players always seem to somehow make it up into there. Yeah. Like, it's one of them things.
That's exactly it.
We used to, in basketball, when I played basketball, it was the green and white team. And you just, like, that was their way of not doing an A and a B. But everybody knew, just because you could see where the key players went to the white team, right?
The talent line,
And they were all on the white team, and then everyone was on the green team. But I managed to make it to the white team, but then I was great at every part of the game but scoring, so...
Oh.
Yeah. It was one big tournament, and I was back on the green team pretty quick. I couldn't fucking put that ball through the hoop. So
still Mayer.
Come to find out, that's a big part of basketball.
Yeah, weird, right?
Yeah, you got to score points, and I couldn't do that part of it.
Unless you're Rodman.
Right. Well, then that was the thing. Maybe if I would have been more conscious of, like, what the game was and, like, just passed it to a scorer.
Always get the assist,
you know,
or
and just rack up points that way.
Yeah.
But I wasn't there yet. I still wanted to try.
Yeah.
But like Rodman, even fucking O'Neal really wasn't a great score player, but I mean, they fucking all, their assist ratings were crazy. Yeah,
that's exactly it. He got the rebounds and the assists.
That's
all he needed.
But I wasn't tall either, so I wasn't pulling down rebounds. I just always had fucking, I could always get steals and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell I was good at.
Sure.
It was. We're talking like sixth, seventh grade here, so my memory of it's pretty foggy. But
totally.
Yeah, it was still. I knew I made it. I was doing well, but I just couldn't win. I just couldn't put the ball through the hoop.
Oh, that's nuts!
But then I found wrestling, and then I was actually pretty damn good at wrestling.
Yep.
So then I stayed there.
That's where I did.
I wasn't no good at basketball, but
yeah,
wrestling I could do.
Did you go to state at all?
Oh yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. How did I not know this?
Third. I don't know.
I was third?
Ranked, yeah, I was ranked
Holy shit.
That shit fucking helped my ass out throughout my whole life, man.
Yeah.
And still, to this day, if anyone's ever tried to fight me that was a wrestler, I could tell almost immediately how they approached me.
Yeah.
And then as soon as, like, they would shoot in or anything and, like, I could feel the wind come out of them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, like, they would know, like.
This guy knows how to wrestle.
Yeah, like, because you can tell when you fucking, when you go and approach someone who's never wrestled
before. Oh, totally.
And how you just, you just take them right
down.
Yeah. But then you've approached someone who's wrestled before, like,
they have a little bit of a base, and you're like, oh, well, all right.
Yeah.
Let's see who's got more skill.
Yeah, I don't know. It was fun. I did it, but then, like, it was easy to make weight at the time. Because, I mean, we're talking, like, 10th, 11th grade,
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
Or was it 9th, 10th, and 11th? I don't know. It was, like, there was a period of time there where, like once I found drugs and shit, it just kind of, like, I shifted my focus.
Yeah.
But it was easier to make weight, but I was so weak when I would go into it, you know, like.
So you did drugs and wrestle?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But, like, it was one of them deals where, like, it was, like, the end of my wrestling career was, like, the beginning of my drug use.
Yeah.
But, so, like, there was that overlap period where, like, it just kind of, like, it became very clear that I couldn't do both.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I was too addicted to the drugs and not addicted to the wrestling. So,
sure.
Yeah, but no, I was very good at it. It's just priorities, I guess.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but the guys that beat me in state, I got fucking beat, bro.
Yeah.
That third was a hard one to catch.
Yeah.
But like to knock me out of that first and second range, it was not good. Like, them guys were superior in every way.
Sure.
But then I've got to my bracket, I guess, going for third and fourth. And
I took
well on that. But
damn. See, that's what, if there was a regret that I've ever had, I don't have many. Like, I don't really care. But, like, I made it to state, but then I just lost out right away because I just didn't care. I was like, man, I made it. You know, like, this is good. But because I just didn't try. Because it was in Rapid City, South Dakota. If you've ever been to Rapid, like, it's beautiful. And then you get to hang out there from, like, Tuesday to Saturday because it was a big, big tournament.
Yeah,
a state tournament, right? So you're just hanging out with other people, basically. And I don't give a shit about our team and our people. I don't care. I was just there to meet new people.
Right.
What's up, everybody? Go party with a different camp. And then I'm like, well, cool. If I just lose out, that means I don't have to do shit anyway. Like, and it's just a free party the rest of the week. So, but if there was something that I do different, is I would try. Like,
right.
I would actually
try. A lot of that shit. I had a buddy, too, who's actually going to be in my wedding.
Yeah.
He went to fucking state, too. He was, like, my first taste of state, I guess. I was just with him.
Yeah.
And so we were definitely younger, because I think I made it to state my last year in there.
Okay.
But he was in state, like, pretty much, like, I don't know if it was 2 years in a row or whatever it was, but I don't think he ended up placing, but his weight class was way more skilled than, like, you know, like, you always figure, like, that was, like, my first taste of, like, people way bigger than me starving themselves to make weight in the lower class. Like, it was my first taste of that.
Yeah.
So, of course, I was getting my ass pounded at that time, but then once I hit my growth spurt and everything like that, I was able to actually wrestle, I guess, people that were actually in my same stature.
Yeah.
But, like, he fucking was there. And, yeah, dude. And that was my first taste of state. But I got to, my first time going, I wasn't in it. So I just got to enjoy all that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it
was great. But then I finally was able to go and compete. But, I don't know, man. It was definitely an experience. I don't regret anything, because I know that I think my only regrets there would have just been, like, again, probably just taking more serious, because I don't think I thought about it in terms of, like, what other people thought about it. It was being a big deal. I just took it as another tournament.
Right, yeah.
You know, but, yeah, then,
and
like,
state is a huge,
right, but I think, like, when I first did it, it was, like, the first year that, like, I don't know that even knowing, because I wasn't even focused on being ranked in state, you know what I mean? Like, even the thought about that, like, it was, like, when I was a senior, though, and, like, I had classmates of mine who were ranked in state, then to me it was a big deal, but for some reason when I was in it and doing it, being ranked in state, didn't mean shit to me.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. So it was like, I guess it was just a disconnect that maybe being too young, like just not realizing what it meant and everything like that. But yeah, I never looked at it. But then again, wrestling and high school wrestling was never something like I was looking at as a career path.
Right.
So
right.
Maybe if I would have done something like that, because I mean, I don't know what the fuck they make, but you think about like Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar, and these people who like were NCAA champions that happened to make something of themselves right. Doing that.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking cool. I
well,
guess, but
even a full ride to a D1, D2,
exactly.
D3
like
team,
you
right?
Could have.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, and then you got these big schools too for higher education and shit like that. It just wasn't my focus, I guess.
Yeah.
Especially once I found drugs, my whole drive for all that shit just changed.
Yeah.
Which for the worst, obviously, you can't say for better or worse because there wasn't really a whole lot of better for it. But
right. I know. By
except
the time,
for experience, I guess. Yeah. Like I've got a life experience that not a whole lot of people have, I guess.
Totally.
But,
well, by the time I got to my senior year, I was just done, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't like elementary wrestle, but it was like seventh grade to senior year. Got done to the senior year and I was like, I'm not wrestling anymore. Even if I wanted to wrestle in college, I was just over it.
See, I think I would have been about eighth grade. I don't know if I was seventh because I think seventh grade is when I would have tried basketball.
Okay.
And then eighth and ninth grade around there would have been when I wrestled, I think. Sure. God damn it. It's weird that I can't fucking remember these little like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just never really was a sports guy in high school. But then finally, when I got to wrestling, I was great.
Yeah.
But I was never the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I've got boxes and boxes of second place trophies.
Oh,
you
really?
Know what I mean? Like, well, these fucking Gators, man, the fucking Greenbush would always crack
out. Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, they were doing two-a-days, and we were only doing one. They were just they were just superior wrestlers.
Yeah.
Man, they just were. And until you could get yourself on two-a-days, which you can't do that alone, you need your school to kind of back that. And when that's not happening,
you can't wrestle alone.
No,
you need one more person.
And then fucking the same friend. You fucking pretty much the end of my career was I call it career, but like my wrestling career.
Yeah,
you know, like. We were out of town at some hotel, and I slipped on the thing, and I grabbed the little stairwell going down into the swimming pool, and I racked my ribs on it really good, and, like, I cracked them. And then I was at practice the next – whenever the fuck we had practice next.
Yeah.
And I told him about it, and he fucking put me in a headlock and threw me over his fucking hip. And I fucking
finished it
he
off.
He fucked him up pretty good. But then the next tournament I was in, I had a guy throw a cheap elbow down and did the same thing, but he popped his elbow in.
Yeah.
And he fucking shattered my rib. And then from then on, I was pretty much out.
Yeah.
And that was the year after that whole thing with the state shit. And like, it was just kind of over.
Wow.
Yep. Good times, man. I don't know. I fucking sucked. But I want to say he took third place in state that year that I went down there, too. I can't fucking remember, man. It was so long ago now.
Yeah. What weight were you at?
I would have been fucking, I was in, dude, it had to have been probably like 150-ish. No.
No shit.
No way it was a 150. Fuck, dude. I don't know. So I'm thinking this would have been in like 9th, 10th grade.
Yeah.
I was always heavy for my grade, but there's no way it was 150 because I was like 150 last year. So let's drop it to 120 to 130 there.
Yeah.
For the last, the weight I remember being at though, like when I was first getting into it was 90 pound weight. That's the weight that like rings in my head.
Yeah.
Because I was a little fatty.
Yeah.
But I remember that weight for some reason, but it had to have been about 120, 130. I don't even remember. I did so many drugs, man. I probably should because I was fucking decent at it. I just it was just another high school sport though. Yeah. I didn't really think of it as being anything important.
I did. I was at 152. That's why I was like, whoa, 150. Yeah. I wrestled 152.
I think maybe towards the end of it, I could have maybe been at 150, but then the people I would have been wrestling would have been 170 walking around.
Sure.
You know, and then I would have been fucked up.
Yeah.
I'd have gotten crushed.
Well, that's what I was at 170.
That's
For sure. I wanted to go wrestle 189, so I put on weight. On muscle, put on mass.
Well, yeah, and that's what happens in your like your 11th, 12th grade year. That's what people start doing. Like that was where I was pretty much calling her quits.
Yeah,
because like when you had people that were like avidly like putting out like trying to bulk up and like then like cut so they can fucking do all that. Like that just wasn't me.
Yeah.
I think it was I like to call it a fluke of the century. You know what I mean? For me to even be there. Because I just didn't take it near as serious as the people.
And you got third. Yeah. Like, that's fucking insane to me.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I didn't try, but I tried to get to – my goal was state. You know what I mean? Like, once I make it to state, it's a free ride. I don't give a shit. Oh, yeah. But you didn't even try and you got third.
Well, like,
I'm not saying he didn't try.
At the time, I just remember the qualifier, too. Yeah. Like, because I took second in the qualifier to get there.
Fuck yeah.
Because it was like you could place, like, one, first, second, third to qualify.
Sure. Yeah.
And I took second in the qualifier. And I didn't even know what the fuck that meant. And I was just there, dude, doing this shit. But.
Here's a takedown, get a half Nelson, and get a pin.
Yeah, long fucking time ago. Long time ago. I don't even fucking,
That's incredible.
Fucking nuts. But I still thank wrestling for saving my ass and a lot of ass kickings that could have been, you know?
Yep.
I could have gotten my fucking head kicked in a couple of times, but thankfully, I know how to handle myself on the ground.
You had a skill.
I am not, like, I'm not saying I know, like, deep Brazilian jiu-jitsu or anything like that, but I do know enough I can submit your ass.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a fan of MMA, so like, I know about as much as any other fan of MMA. Like, I'm not a practicing.
You're a couch professional.
Yeah, like I'm not I'm not in the gym daily practicing my fucking submission game, but I have, however, in street fights or like in close call ass kickings, I have fucking gotten people in some shit. Like, a triangle choke is almost impossible. Like, you can get anybody in that shit without knowing much.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, especially any type of arm bar, too, you can usually wrench somebody's arm over pretty easy.
Well, and they hurt as soon as they feel pain.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay, well, you know, whatever.
I can choke you out in a lot of different ways than I know any other, like, bar submission. But, like, I can choke you out pretty easy. If you give me your back, it's over with.
Right.
You know, and that is wrestling.
Yeah, right.
You give me your back, and I promise I'm not going to not have your back anymore.
Right.
Unless you're somebody who really knows more than me.
And yeah.
Well, or even someone who's just been on a mat in the last 10 years. Yeah. I haven't.
Right, same.
I haven't.
Some of these high school kids, I could probably kick my ass.
Oh, dude. I guarantee you I could go in with any one of these high schoolers right now and get my ass rolled up.
Right.
So, like, like that's another reason why I call it a fluke. Like, I'm not saying that I'm a fantastic wrestler. I was good at the time.
Yep.
As when I was doing it, but like by all means, man, like any high schooler that is taking it serious today would fuck me up, especially on just endurance alone.
Yeah. Like, well, there's that. We're old too.
Yeah, right? I ain't got near the endurance.
But it would be cool
anymore.
I think every now and again, just stop into a wrestling room just to see, you know,
like
go against a senior because freshman,
fuck,
but like
a senior. I would love
to go against a senior just to see. I'd have to wear a fucking like titanium knee brace.
I was gonna say, give me your most out of shape senior and I'll try it. And like just my goal would be to lose in points. You know, like just don't get pinned, buddy.
Yeah.
Just don't get pinned. And I think I could maybe score. I could maybe pull that off.
I think you would surprise yourself.
I think I would too. And that's why I was going to say that I would get pinned. But I think surprising myself would be not getting pinned and to be able to fucking pull it off. But
you have, you know, cockiness in youth, right? Because you just don't know any better. But in life, you have just a little bit more wit to know, like.
Right, and I also accept the fact that if you find yourself into a position, that there's a way out.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I think that was always my skill level was like you could never keep me in a position too long because I was going to find my way out of it.
Sure.
Legal or not.
Yeah,
but you know, it's all dependent on what that ref was going to catch.
Yeah. I loved, so you wore a headgear? Did you wear headgear?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't? So
no headgear.
I wore a headgear because I did not want cauliflower hair, right? Like, I have a little bit of it, but nothing crazy. Like, it's just hard. But anyway, so I used to put tape right on that I taped the front two straps together, and I would just fucking grind that into people's foreheads.
Yeah.
And then it would piss them off, and then they'd get mad, and then that's how I get them, right? Like, I throw them off their game because they're just... I'm just grinding that tape into their forehead.
Well, when anytime you throw something, even in any type of fighting situation, like if you can throw a wrench in someone's spine that they're not expecting, just enough to throw them off.
I would do headbutts too. I would just go in for a grapple and you just fucking wham real fast.
To hell was it? BJ, there was a fight, an MMA fight between George St. Pierre and BJ Penn. Where, like, there was for years and years, people have accused St. Pierre of cheating on that fight.
Okay.
One way or the other. I don't know why it's such a thing.
Yeah.
But George St. Pierre finally said, like, that, yes, you're right. I did cheat, but not in the way that you were thinking. He's a French Canadian, so he's got kind of an accent.
Yeah, yeah.
But so as St. Pierre, as BJ Penn is coming out, a fan came out of nowhere from like the side rails and kissed him. It was a man, kissed him. And you could tell BJ Penn.
Like, what the fuck?
He goes, I paid that man to kiss BJ Penn. And once that man kissed him, I knew I had it in the bag.
No, you know,
he said it threw him off. And now, granted, I don't know that St. Pierre actually paid this guy to kiss him, or if it was just his way of joking.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, that guy that kissed you, that was mine. You know, like, you know, but that's what he said too. He was just making up jokes saying that he had that guy kiss him. But he won the fight. So, I mean, maybe that guy kissing him. If a man kissed me today, I'm definitely going to want, it's throwing me off.
Oh, like, right away.
Especially if I'm about to go into a gladiator bit.
Yeah.
You know, like this is where gladiators fight. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And some man kisses you. You're definitely going to be like, what the fuck was
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
You know, like whatever you were focused on walking out, like,
all right, your game plan, you're running,
you know, like
your
everything.
Moves.
And all of a sudden, guy kisses you.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Like, it definitely, I'm sure, threw him off a little bit.
That was my tactic for sure.
When you're throwing like these like prodigies like BJ Penn and like St. Pierre, that fight, the amount of talent that is in that octagon at that moment is unreal. So I mean, I don't know that a simple kiss from a man could completely throw BJ Penn off, but hey man, St. Pierre is still viewed arguably as one of the best of all time.
That's awesome.
I mean, granted, I think right now, like, the crown goes to, I don't know, it goes to either John Jones or else Khabib Nurmagomedov. But Khabib's a fucking, if you're talking about wrestling, just pure wrestling, there is nobody on this fucking planet that will ever, like, Khabib is absolutely next level. Like, and, you know, like, people shit talk and whatnot. Khabib basically said, like, that, like, because, like, people, every fighter that's ever fought Khabib knows what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
They all know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
But
you can't stop
nothing
him. Sure.
That you can do about it. Like, he says, I bring you to deep water and you discover yourself. How scary is that?
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Straight faced in an interview, like, they're talking what they're going to do to Khabib. Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And he's just, what I do is I take you to deep water and you discover who you are.
Like, damn. Okay,
man,
cool.
Who the fuck is this?
Whatever plan I just had.
Like, that psychs a guy out, man.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Oh, dude, he was a nightmare to fight, I guarantee. Yep. Even him and McGregor. McGregor had, well, I don't know, man. The McGregor fight with him, I thought that was going to, I don't think anyone expected McGregor to win.
Yeah.
But, like, man, it's just like he really shut him up in a quick, fast hurry.
Yeah.
Dude. Like, even if you hear, but you can hear him yelling at him because, like, he was talking so much shit going up to the fight that when they're in the cage and he has him down, he's just dropping him on him.
Yeah.
Just let's talk now. Let's talk now.
Yeah.
Huh? Let's talk now. Just dropping him on him.
Yeah.
Like, dude. And it was a scary fight. Like, McGregor was, and then they stood up and then that's McGregor's zone. And Khabib still caught him and dropped him right on his back again. Like, it was a working, man.
Yeah.
It was not good. Speaking of fights, there's a fight. What is today? Friday?
Yeah.
So tomorrow there's a fight. Yeah, it's UFC 300.
Holy shit.
Yeah, fucking 300.
Dude, I'm addicted to the Haymakers thing on Snapchat.
Wait, what's that?
It's a stupid 30-second clips, like, mashed together. It's just called Haymakers. And it's all just, it's on Snapchat.
Is it
Snapchat.
UFC fights?
Or yeah,
is it,
oh, yeah. They just show you, like, fights? For yeah. sure, like, hot highlights of just all yeah. of it. If I get sucked in on that, I can't fucking look away.
Oh, dude, it's great watching someone just eat it. Yeah, I don't know, like, something about it.
I agree. I look at that going, Jesus. Yeah. You know, your jaw gets turned into fucking porcelain. Just
dude, well, right? And, like, this fight card stacked.
Yeah.
There's pretty much something for everyone. Bo Nickel fights on this one, which is, like, probably one of the, I don't know, right now it's hard. I mean, like, it's so difficult to say when someone is the greatest of all time.
Sure.
Yeah. Bo Nickel is easily one of
yeah.
the best wrestlers of all time. Like, oh, like for being so young
yeah.
and like what he still has to become, I think, yeah. like he's projected to at least be sure. one of the best wrestlers yeah. of all time. Like, Bo Nickel's a fucking crazy wrestler, but he's on the card. We got Alex Pereira, who was on the card, and he's fighting fucking some guy. I think his name is Hill. Yeah, Hill. Like, it's
I don't know any of that. I mean, I like watching fights. I just don't know anything about it.
The people's main event, okay. in my eyes, is the yeah. BMF belt. Because Justin the Highlight Gaethje is fighting Max Holloway. And that is such a good fight that it's I would
rent. Is this on pay-per-view? Or
oh, of okay. course it is. Yeah. And if there was a fight that I would want to watch.
How do you even find pay-per-view now?
How?
Yeah,
I don't know, like ESPN Plus, I think, is what's through. Okay. So you got to, like, have one of them stupid, like, things, you know, like the Roku
yeah,
things
yeah.
or whatever.
And then you get it from
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and okay. then you can go and get ESPN Plus, which is an app, and then you
fucking. Because back in the day, pay-per-view, you had to, like, call your provider.
Right. No, it's a lot easier than it used to be, okay. for sure.
I remember my buddies, they would always get, like, WrestleMania-type shit.
Oh,
like,
dog, speaking of that, I just yeah. watched WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, last
week.
The
Rock was in, right?
Yeah, no, yeah. I watched it, man. Like I said on our last podcast, yeah. my guilty pleasure lately
yeah.
is in WWE. I ain't gonna lie, I didn't know I could watch it. Like, in my
head. What was on?
Like, so the last WrestleMania I ever watched yeah. was The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Long time ago. I don't even remember which time, because they've had multiple WrestleManias. Yeah. And I don't yeah. remember which one it was. I remember the theme song of it.
Yeah.
It was Limp Bizkit My Way.
Oh, yeah.
So that should
yes.
date it for you.
Yes.
You know, when My
that
Way
was badass. Yeah, when, you're like, what is this shit?
Dude,
when
Limp Bizkit was like, yeah. Limp Bizkit was the WWE's favorite
yes.
band.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, so.
That's what got me hooked in that.
So I haven't fuck watched yeah. a WrestleMania since.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It was there's two nights to this shit now.
Oh, really?
There's okay. WrestleMania Day 1 and 2, which I had no idea
yeah.
that was even
no
a thing.
Shit.
So I'm just getting it back into this shit.
Yeah.
But I was – so Peacock, which is another one of the –
yeah,
people, Peacock
apps,
is another
yep,
app deal.
Yep.
And they've got a section just for WWE where
no
you can
shit.
Watch like old, like you can watch old 90s pay-per-views
wow.
and shit. I think the only one that I mean, I'm sure you can't watch Over the Edge or anything
right,
like
right.
that, like when Owen Hart died.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was like 98 or
yeah.
99 when Owen Hart came off
just
the zip line.
Dropped.
Yep,
yeah, yeah,
right
yeah.
on live TV.
Yep. Yeah.
But you can still see footage from that pay-per-view. Because right after
yeah.
that happened, Undertaker was supposed to face Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And you can see his face in the ring. Like, he is more pale than normal. Like,
well, yeah, because he's
like,
fucked. Yeah.
Why are we why
exactly.
are we still here? Like,
yeah.
arguably,
yeah.
they should have canceled
absolutely.
The rest of that fucking pay-per-view.
Yes.
But the show must go on.
Dude, yeah, I guess.
And now it's one of the most
damn.
Infamous. And just think about that. The name of the pay-per-view was Over the Edge.
Right.
Doc.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's fucked up.
Like, so, you know, you don't want to put your tinfoil hat on and talk about, you know, why would that happen?
Dude, I don't know, man, but pretty fucked up. But yeah, so I watched it. The
yeah.
first night, main event was actually The Rock in action.
Yeah.
Man, he didn't miss a beat, man.
Yeah.
That guy still is like, and it's, he's like, fuck, dude. The guy, and even, like, so the second night, like, they win. Him and Roman win the first
yeah.
night. So the second night is Bloodline Rules, which was basically no count out, like no like interfere. I mean, no disqualifications on their Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns' match.
Yeah,
there was interference like crazy. Like the whole match was pretty much just them. And then it almost ends like last year. There was an interference, same way. He kicks out, all this shit.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, John Cena's got to come out, make his appearance. Okay. He's got his big bald spot in the middle now.
Funny.
Dude, but that boy's still in shape.
Of course.
You know he's still in shape. Huge. He come out there and he runs ramping on everybody in there, you know? And then fucking, you know, of course, who comes out after that? You know, fucking Rock comes out, does his thing. And then out of nowhere, the whole place goes, you just hear the dung.
Yeah, right.
From now the Undertaker.
Yep.
Undertaker's there, and he's looking old as fuck, too, man. That boy looking like, you know, he's trying to be intimidating with Huff and Puff. It just looked like an old man needing to shit. I'll be honest. Undertaker, dude, I love you, man.
Yeah,
like, anyone else does, dude. But, like, dude, this better be your last.
Would have to be
one, bro. Like,
how come nobody else looks like these guys,
dude? Well, dude, but that's the thing. You got Undertaker standing there, who grew up in the same era the Rock did, and everything like that. And it's like even Cena, but out of all of them, the one that looks the best still is the Rock. Looks like he could have a full new career, in the WWE and not miss a beat. That boy is just still, jacked.
Yeah.
And he's leaner than I've ever seen him too. Like, but
footage. Yeah.
He went lean for this whole thing. And then he was in a little press conference saying that, like, hey man, we're trying to build something here. I didn't want to just come in and be like a little selling
cameo
point.
Cameo piece.
Yeah, he goes, I wanted to create something that could maybe last past this. So it looks like he might stick around a little bit. Yeah. I think he's having fun.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Why not?
He's been off for how long doing these real serious movies and shit like that. I think he's having a good time back in the fold.
Yeah.
And now that Vince McMahon is dealing with all these weird sex trafficking things, you know.
Right.
And now that Triple H is head of creative.
Yeah.
I think The Rock is having a good time with that.
He's
chilling.
Yeah. Because
The Rock and Triple H had one of the biggest feuds of all time, too. Yep. So I think he's having a great time doing it. But yeah, WrestleMania, man. Great fucking
That's
times,
awesome.
Dude. But
now
to sidetrack for tinfoil hat shit.
Yeah.
The eclipse that just went down.
Yeah, how
right?
about that? Yeah.
Now, fucking weirdly enough.
Okay, hold on before you go. But Jessica posted on Facebook. So you're Jessica.
Yeah.
Posted on Facebook. Everybody needs a. What did she say? It was that she tagged you in it? Like, everybody needs a conspiracy theorist in their life.
Oh, yeah.
To figure out the truth. And then she tagged you. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because she didn't even know that you couldn't look up at an eclipse. I'm like, dude, it'll burn your retinas.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's a fact, man.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole thing with it was, like, remember, so, like, years ago, and the only reason I even want to bring it up was because, like, years ago when we first started this, I brought up the whole discovery of the Higgs boson.
Oh, yeah.
So the Higgs boson was discovered at CERN, right? You know, so CERN blasting the fucking particles off, like creating a secondary Big Bang, essentially, is what their goal is. So oddly enough, on the day of the fucking eclipse, they decide that's the day they're going to fire up CERN again.
Oh, geez.
Who dies on that same day is fucking Higgs. The guy.
Oh no!
The guy who the Higgs boson is named after on that exact same day that they fire it back up. The original reason they supposedly fired this up was to find the Higgs boson.
Yeah.
Now on the day they fire it up on this massive eclipse and where all the planets align and shit.
Yeah.
Higgs dies. Like it's just like what the fuck?
Yeah.
In 96 or 97 he dies or some shit. Whole bunch of weird shit going on with this whole eclipse thing, man. I don't know how much of it you can believe, how much you can't. But it's not like any time when like something like that's going on or like when they're trying to harness our energy from one thing or another, like the eclipse and all the fucking energy coming off of that.
Right.
You won't know it at the time or the day of, but like it's afterwards is when you start to notice these things. Like I guess now there's a part of the whole Mandela effect is movies that everyone remembers being movies that are no longer movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Like, that wasn't a movie. You're like, bullshit, that wasn't a movie.
Yeah. Well, fucking again, like, every time. So the whole theory behind this is the reason why we believe, anyway, that the Mandela effect is what it is.
Yeah.
Is because every time they fire this fucker off and create this energy. But first off, the amount of energy that it takes just to shoot this fucker off one time is astronomical.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. But then when the energy that's created from the particles colliding is even more massive, you wouldn't believe.
Like a reset of a timeline?
Well, not so much that, but what if it were to shift our reality over? We know that now, like, science has proven that time is not linear.
Right.
Time happens all at once. It's all going on right now at this second. The only thing that changes us from right now between last time we were sitting in this room is vibration.
Yeah. Right.
So our particles in our body, what makes us up, we're just vibrating differently. So we are in a different, you know, point kind of thing.
Yep.
It has time nothing to do space. With time.
Not time, but like space.
Right, right. Yeah. So like time space. Yeah. You know, like that's what, like, everything, like that's why with black holes, they warp time space, right?
Yeah.
So like every time we shoot these off, and basically when these particles collide, they create little miniature black holes that dissipate. They don't, like, they can't sustain. You know, like, they just don't hold and then they go away. But now, even Stephen Hawking, the first time they were shooting this fucker off, he was nervous because he didn't know if we could stop that black hole from essentially swallowing up
everything.
What if it did, though?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the question. Like, what if it did?
Yeah.
But we were just shifted over in reality.
And
or
how,
like,
would we know?
Right. But maybe there would be little telltale signs like the Mandela effect, these things that half the population remember, but half don't.
Yeah.
And what if we were like, it's just kind of, it's a trippy ass fucking theory, but every single time that CERN shoots off this fucker, the Mandela effect becomes more and more prevalent. True. Why is that? Like, now every single time, it started with, ooh, it's the Berenstein Bears. No, it's the Berenstein Bears. Like how it's spelt, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it started.
Right.
And now we are to, like, extents, like, what the fuck? Well, no, that's not technically true. The reason we call it the Mandela effect is because a lot of people remember Nelson Mandela dying at a certain age.
Yeah.
And he never did.
Right.
So, like, that was where it started. Yeah. That's why we call it the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it started then. But the biggest one was always that Berenstein Bears.
Yeah, that's
thing.
Where I saw it. And I'm like, well, what is it? You're like, I don't know.
Right. Anymore, you don't. And then there was, like, a bunch of logos, like the Monopoly guy. Do you remember with the monocle?
Yeah.
Because he didn't have one.
Right. I do. Absolutely.
Dude, I only picture him with the monocle.
Yes. Ace Ventura. He beat the shit out of that guy because he had a monocle.
Right. Yeah.
Look, it's the Monopoly guy,
right?
Yeah,
holds him, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And then, what the fuck's the other one? Not Ace Ventura, but like, fuck. There's so fucking many of them. Oh, Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah.
So the Air Jordan logo?
Yeah.
Dude, the logo that is on it right now, he's wearing pants.
Oh, yeah. But it was shorts. Yeah.
When has it ever been acceptable to play basketball in pants? Yeah. Why would you create the Air Jordan logo with pants?
Yeah, right.
But now that's what it is. That's what it's always been.
Yeah, no, but it has.
No, it fucking hasn't. No. You can't convince me. No. Why, Nike, would you put a guy in pants?
Yeah, because it hasn't been, though.
Dude, no.
It was
shorts. That's what it is now. It's pants.
Fuck.
And that's what it's always been.
No.
And, like, there's an Oreos logo one. There's so many fucking of them, dude, that you're like, this is not.
Yeah.
Because, like, but the one that makes, like, the Air Jordan logo fucks with me because, like, when would that have ever been acceptable? Like, when would putting, like,
day one, they wouldn't have sold.
No, be like, pants? Why the fuck? That's pants. Not even a basketball player there, dude. Since when is Michael Jordan, besides in fucking Space Jam, did he ever do a dunk in fucking pants?
Yep.
Never, dude. Yep. Never. Never. Yep. And, like, you would assume that they took the die cut of him doing that from a game, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. He wasn't wearing pants in that
game. No, he never, ever. Yeah.
And you could argue, too, and say, well, there were his warm-up pants. No. Never.
It's not jamming.
No, because like they don't take the logo from something like that from a warm-up session.
Right, no.
They're going to take that from an iconic moment.
Highlight.
Yes, yeah, from an iconic moment in MJ's career.
Yeah.
That's where they're going to go for
it. Yeah, exactly.
And why would they change it into pants?
No.
Dude, it makes no sense to me. And then, like, there was another one, too. There was a Michael Jackson one, like that. You know, like, when you say, you've been hit by, you've been struck by a smooth criminal.
Yeah.
Apparently, he doesn't say smooth criminal. He says, you've been hit by. Oh, no, it's. He doesn't say you've been hit by, you've been struck by. It's you've been hit by, you've been hit by a smooth
criminal. Oh, never struck by.
Yeah.
No.
But that one, though, I kind of went dug into.
Yeah.
And it's different parts of the song.
Oh, okay.
And I did find it where it does say, hit, like, but then, like, because if you recall, Alien Ant Farm.
Yes, they redid it.
Alien Ant Farm redid it, and theirs, you've been hit by, you've been struck by,
yeah,
a smooth
yeah.
criminal.
Yep.
But Michael Jackson's, I don't think, did or something like that.
Okay.
But, yeah, fucking
there's
still crazy,
lot.
Man.
There's, well, so speaking of Jordan, have you seen the movie Air?
No.
That's a good movie.
Is it's he got, in it or what?
Well, it's about him.
Oh,
it's about his story. It's about the story of Nike. How about that? They about, like, went belly up.
Oh, yeah, but they bet it all on old
they
the kid.
Did. They did,
the
yeah.
The kid, Michael Jordan.
Matt Damon played the
yeah,
the
I know what movie you're talking
and,
about,
Air,
sure.
I think that's what it's called. But, yeah, it's a damn good movie. I thought so, anyway. I mean, I'm a Jordan fan. Like, I'm actually, like, obsessed about Jordan. But, like, yeah, like, Nike was a running company, running shoes, you know, and that's all it was back in the day. They had 17% of the market. That was it.
You
and
understand,
they were about to shut
you understand
down.
How many fucking times this competitive motherfucker's almost lost the entirety of his wealth from gambling?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Michael Jordan has a serious gambling.
Totally. He, you know, the documentary, The Last Dance.
Yeah.
He's there with his security guy fucking betting on quarters.
Dude, anything.
Yeah.
Anything. Anything Michael Jordan can bet on.
Yeah.
Bets. Like,
he's like, I'm a fucking bet. I'm bet.
Yeah.
Make a bet.
Dude, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That just goes to show you, what if he was able to bet on his own games? Imagine the competitiveness. Like,
yeah.
He's already a competitive dude.
Yeah,
and, right. Like, beyond all belief.
I'm betting,
like,
on me.
Like, so much so that, like, in his first failed marriage, he lost how much money? And he still got married again?
Right.
That's,
exactly.
That's,
well, he got a prenup the second
year. Well, no, I'm sure.
But duh,
I'm
right?
Sure. How the fuck couldn't you?
Well, no. What's funny about the second prenup, or his second marriage, is he had a prenup. But he still was going to give her money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, he was good with it. He's like, I'll give you money. But if you can stay with me, I think it was like at least 3 years, you get more money.
Right. I mean, that's, like, crazy.
That was nuts.
That's still creating like an over-under. Like,
for
he's
sure.
creating a bet, dude.
Yeah.
That guy is absolutely nuts.
It was
like,
cool. I'm like, he's a fucking
I mean, his stocks, like, he'll never go broke just because of the stocks, you know, he's always kept in Nike.
Yeah.
Just like, there's no way. If you have any brains at all, you would have kept, like, like, let's just say life collapses tomorrow, bro.
Right.
Like,
right.
You always have that nest egg in Nike, because Nike ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
You know? And if you just always can keep that little bit, like, enough shares over there that you can be like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
I lost everything.
Right.
I'm going to sell these off, and then boom.
Yep.
You know, but
yeah, no,
I don't know, man. It's crazy, because his shares in Nike have to be absolutely fucking unreal.
They would have, like,
he shared, like, he actually helped.
For he still gets paid 1% of every shoe that he sells.
Yeah, but, like, this motherfucker, even I think it was Charles Barkley of all people, he helped out. Like, he was signing a deal with some shoe company. He goes, hey man, why do you need all that money? He's like, what do you mean? But he's like, why don't you take less money but take stock options?
Oh, yeah.
Instead,
yeah.
You know, trying to put him on game, basically.
Right, right.
And he's like, well, fuck. I mean, he just took from what Michael's, because Michael was successful at the time.
Right, right.
And he had more money than him, and he was younger than him. He's like, fuck, I better listen to this kid. So he did that.
Yeah.
And now, still to this day, the money that Michael Jordan saved him and got actually made him in the long
through
haul.
The stock.
Through the stock options was way better. There's even a guy, I forget what his, I don't know what his fucking last name is, man. I forget. He's on Rogan here and there, but he's this Asian cat who's an artist, and he essentially, he painted murals inside the Facebook headquarters, and they they could at the time they couldn't afford to pay him any money.
Yeah,
but they gave him stocks.
Oh,
this motherfucker hasn't worked a day since. Sure. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure. So like,
yeah, I'll take those.
Yeah,
that's
at the time he was just doing it because he's an artist, starving artist, man. Yep. Anywhere you can put your art up, is going to be more defined.
Right.
And now he's now he's like he took a certain amount of time. He's actually got a documentary where he goes and looks for a dinosaur out in the rainforest. It's some I don't know if it, I'm not positive, don't quote me on this, but it was like a, not a legend, but like a fucking God damn it, man. I was just talking about how my word recognition is getting better too, but anyway, it's like a regional fucking, not a myth, but people have reported
or whatever
kind of thing. Yeah.
They've
spotted, or there's people that have said they've spotted this thing in this region. So they go out in the rainforest and basically try to find this shit.
Yeah.
And because he's got disposable money now and he doesn't have to work and he's they go out and live off nothing pretty much and go try to find this thing.
Yeah.
But that guy too, he just basically paints a fucking mural.
Yeah.
And get stock options and boom,
lands
like that
one.
I think, I suppose, what the fuck, that's pretty much what everybody's dream is when you invest in a company,
right?
Like, you just try to like pick that company that's going to be the next Facebook,
that's
Instagram.
Shark Tank 101,
yeah,
right?
You invest and then you just hope they become what the fuck is Shark Tank. Speaking of that, I didn't know who it was, but somebody was I don't know what the thing he was trying to sell was, but they all turned him down.
Yeah.
And then later on, he becomes one of the sharks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, okay. He comes back in after they all pass on his idea.
Yeah.
And that idea makes him wealthy enough to become one of the sharks. And he gets to come in. They all give him a standing ovation.
Really?
They can all admit when they're wrong.
Well, for sure.
Guess.
Yeah.
You know, but he was actually one of the sharks.
Well, that's how you do it. Somebody tells you no, it's a fucking bad idea.
We create our reality, man. Yeah. And if you put enough of your energy, your life force.
Speaking of that, I'm really glad that you brought that up. Okay, so.
It's facts.
Anybody who's listening, listen up, right now. My jump rope, okay? My jump rope idea, all this stuff. I've had it for fucking years, blah, blah, blah. I'm finally to the point where I need 10 people. Okay, so I need 10 people. I will retail the jump rope at $299. I get it, right? Whatever. Whatever you want to say for the price, but it is worth it. I promise you, whatever. But I need 10 people to come in at $125. I will sell it to you for $125 in exchange for basically feedback. Bring it to your friends. See if there's a market for this. And then if you hate it, I'll give you your money back. But the $125, what that does is it offsets my development costs.
Right.
I have to make these things.
Yeah.
Well, I have to pay somebody to make
for
these
sure.
things. But I'm looking for 10 people, whether it's in town or not, I'll mail it to you, whatever. 10 people, please spread the word on that. 10, right? So 10's a nice round number. I don't know if we get 15, great. But I'll sell it to you for $125.
Well, then quick, Fats, just in case this is the first episode that some people have heard.
Great.
Just
a
quick breakdown. What is this jump rope?
For sure. Yes. Thank you. It's so a conventional jump rope. It comes out the top of your wrist, or it comes out the top of your hands, and it only uses your wrist, right? So my jump rope, I'll call it the Cobra rope. It is a T-handle. It's ergonomically correct to then dissipate the weight between your wrist, your elbow, and your shoulder. So I actually just forgot my jump rope and used a conventional rope again. It hurt my wrist really freaking bad. And 2 days later, I'm like, Jesus, why am I so sore?
Right.
Because it doesn't have my
The wife's been out of town for a month.
That,
huh?
Dude. Yeah, right? Why is my wrist?
Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, so this handle, actually a T-handle, the rope is actually in between your index finger and your middle finger, and it pokes out there through the stem. So it I love it. It's aluminum, so it's made out of
heavy
billet,
duty,
billet
not
aluminum.
Gonna break.
And I'm actually coming out with 1.25 inch diameter handle because that's what I'm finding the market needs, not 1.5 inches. Mine's like a fucking
little bit.
It's an inch and a half, and it looks girthy. Like a weapon, right? Yeah. It's like a goddamn weapon for people. But this one's an inch and a quarter, so it makes more sense for the market. I feel like I'm really finding a breakthrough.
You can kind of cut the average between what a full man handle and a female handle. If you can just find one in between.
That's exactly it. Yeah, so that's what I'm finding. So it's that, and then the jump rope itself, that the rope material itself, man, if you wear that out, it's 100% guaranteed I'll just send you a new rope.
Yeah.
Like the new rope material.
Yeah.
So like this thing is indestructible. And that's what I've always wanted. The history behind me even creating this is I just keep buying jump ropes that break.
Well, right. And like when you have a jump rope that's by design, they hit the ground.
Right.
You know, a lot of times.
And friction will just keep eating at it, right? But the material that I've found, it doesn't wear out. And then if it does, like I said, I will send you another one.
Yeah.
Like you've done the work to wear that out. Perfect. I'll send you another. I'll send you another rope. But the handles, if you break those, you probably broke somebody's fucking skull. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way you're breaking those handles. So that's my idea behind it all. And I'm finally to a point where I'm like, okay, I need 10 people to make sure that there's even a market for it. I'm willing to put money into it because I gotta make them, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But I need people to now go, yeah, sure, I'm with you. Let's really test this out. I'll give you $125. Like I say, it offsets the cost of me developing it, making them. And then you show your friends, your neighbors, your everybody, is there a market for it? So that's the exchange, right?
Right.
And if you hate it, send it back. I'll give you $125 back. I'm there, right? At least now I know.
As long as you get your rope back.
Well, for sure,
Yeah, you got to return the jump rope.
Yeah, like if you want the money back, I'll give you, and then send the rope back, right? Which is fine. You don't like it? Cool. Like then I know at least the initial investment for me as well as somebody else, there's an equal value there.
Yeah.
If there's a market for it and people love it, cool. Let's keep making these things. But if there isn't, well, fuck, I don't need to spend any more time on it. Then I just know that I have a cool rope for me and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for 10 people. Please let me know. Share it out. You know, and you're not going to find anything like this on the market. Like, I promise you, nobody's
done your homework.
Nobody's out there going, let's recreate the jump rope. You know, like I do because I love to jump rope.
Right.
So if there's somebody out there who just, you know, it's like, yeah, let's do this, I love it. So contact me. What? You know, contact us through here or shoot me an email or text. So email my first name, last name at gmail.com.
Do you have one in the gym here?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, has anybody mentioned it to you yet? Or does anybody around here fucking use it?
Well, I actually just set it out last week. I have a little post-it note on the counter saying, please use this and provide anything.
Yeah, And
that's the other thing I've been in fear of in the last, like, year or two since I've, you know, developed this rope. I'm like, well, what if somebody steals it? You know, like, what if somebody steals the design? What if somebody steals the entire? Nobody's fucking stealing the jump rope.
No. Well, I mean, I could see maybe someone walking off with the actual jump rope, but then at the same time, if that were to happen, you know that they liked it enough that they felt that they needed to steal it.
Right.
But I mean, I don't really think,
nobody's out here trying to steal an idea of a jump rope. You know,
because then they also have to go through all the development process of what you already have.
Good luck with that. Yeah. You find somebody that I have found and have access to, he's the best in the industry anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not worried.
Right. Because
he does all their development for Polaris.
Yeah.
And BB and, you know, a lot of big companies. So, like, I'm not worried.
No doubt.
So now I'm over my own fear. Now I'm just putting it out there and going, okay. Is there a market for this?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, who knows, man? Within the next couple of months here, you should have people, you may have people stopping you and asking you about it. Like, where'd you get this? Like, well, it's actually my design. And like, you know, like I hopefully can get to selling it sooner or later here. I just need this and this and this and, you know, X, Y, and Z.
But I think, my initial phase here, that big fucking handle is too big. You know what I mean?
It may be
but that's just me. I'm one person. The more people I've had use it, they're like, wow, this is big. I'm like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they like that.
Right.
The average handle is, you know, anywhere from an inch all the way up to that inch and a quarter. So it's just too big.
You gotta cut your range.
Diameter, right? Yeah. Just try to find a happy medium. They're smaller, but even that, when you're using a regular rope, when it's that small, your grip, like, see, like, the creases in my fingers is white. Well, you're cutting circulation off to those points.
Yeah.
Now, not for very long, but if you're jump roping, if you're jumping rope, like, you're squeezing that handle. Now, that's even harder on this grip.
Right. And maybe maybe if people gave it a chance, too, they would learn to actually like the bigger one. That's but it's just intimidating coming up to it, especially when you're used to a smaller diameter.
Just this little thing that's, you know, it's not intrusive. It's not intimidating, right? Yeah. So then you see this big fucking, you know, thing that you could beat the fuck out of somebody with. And you're like, well, if I can't jump rope and I'm in a fight, I'll grab this and I'll beat you.
But
so anybody listening, please, you know, if you're interested, contact me somehow.
Do it up.
Like, I'm excited. Like, it, I finally, it's into my own head. Like you said, just create your own reality.
Right. You do, man.
Create a reality that.
It's a fact. Yeah. I mean, it's like fucking CIA documents state that we do. Like, this isn't my opinion. It's just like, and it's not even one of the things where we just, you know, it's not hocus pocus bullshit. You do, like, it's like it, all signs point to it, man. We create our reality. It's just you gotta, to do so, you can't just desire something. You have to also change your subconscious, which is not easy to do.
Dr. Joe Dispenza, look him up. Like, he's an awesome resource.
It's a fucking it's a process. And like, just even like, if you wake up in the morning and you don't normally make your bed, make your bed.
Yeah.
If you go to the bathroom and brush your teeth with your right hand, switch to the left hand.
Yeah.
Just start doing things differently. Yeah. And that'll be the starting process of trying to change your, because like, the, there's things that we do in our everyday life that we don't think about doing. We just do it because that's our subconscious brain telling us to do it.
Put on your underwear first.
Yes.
Then, like, put on those socks.
Do something different. Yeah. Like, you just got to just, it's kind of like, it comes, even like from your point, of, like your fucking field of like muscle confusion. Yeah. It's the same thing. You've got to confuse your brain a little bit sometimes just to, you know, like, and I'm a very ritualistic guy. So it's hard for me to change the way I do things. And like, but when I consciously find myself trying. To change it, I find that, like, I don't know, I have a better grip of my day and shit like that. Like, I feel like it's more my choice rather than predisposed, like just, like, this is how it's going to be.
With the monotony. You know?
It's just switching it up even a little bit. Like, I don't know, it's great. Even it's, I'm a smoker, man, if you can't tell from my voice. But, like, even, like, lighting my cigarette when I walk out the door rather than when I get in the car. Like, it, and that, to me, right there, I've been trying to do that more because I want to quit smoking soon, right? But, like, I have no plans on quitting driving. But, like, and I think most smokers will tell you that smoke in their vehicle. Not every smoker smoke in their vehicle. But what do you do when you get in your vehicle? You fire it up and you light up a cigarette and you start your drive, man. But, like, just switching it so I'm not lighting it in my vehicle anymore. Now, like, when I do finally make the leap to quit, every time I get into my vehicle, it's not going to be second nature for me to light up a cigarette.
Exactly.
And that was one thing that I've always struggled with while trying to quit smoking was every time I got in my vehicle, I'd start looking for my lighter and shit like that. So if I can just stop even that. And that was something that I started programming my brain to do just because I, I'm just trying, like, anything I can.
Another good resource for that, for anybody listening, would a book. It's a book called Atomic Habits, right? It's the same concept, literally just what you explained.
Oh, fucking right. It's interrupting. I could have wrote a
book, you could have, right? You could have been world famous Cody Skogstad. Atomic Habits. Literally, you just described the entire book in 2 seconds, right?
Well, or fuck, man. I never read the book, but maybe I would now and get a, like, a little more fucking resources on my own thought process.
It is. It's a great book. It interrupts the patterns, and that's all you got to do.
Yeah, do it. And it's for anything, man. This is like anything. If you fucking, you kind of, if you can find your, like, your trouble zone, a place where it's going to be the hardest for you to not do something. If you can just reprogram that area, man, it's going to help tenfold, I would imagine. Good stuff, man. And fucking A, man. I take a second here. What time are we out here? Okay, we're still, holy shit.
I know.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
No, last time we were doing the podcast, I ended it with, like, hey, man, not, you know, I didn't say fuck you, Lou, more or less.
Yeah.
Man, I'm sorry I didn't call you, dude.
Well, yeah, dude.
My fucking like Sunday, it wasn't even but fucking noon, man.
Yeah.
And I got the phone call that my grandfather passed.
Oh yeah.
So he actually passed. Oh, okay. And yeah, like
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, man. It's is what it is. But I was just busy, and then like the week started, and I just never got back to it.
Yeah.
I did get a text from him though. It just said, bullshit.
Yeah.
And I was going to message him back too, but I was like, fuck, I was just dealing with too much at that very second. And then by the time it came back, like, you know, came back full circle, it was just, I'm like, motherfucker, I'll call you when I have a second, man. It's just been a fuck of a week. And then, with that whole thing, and now we're not going to do the funeral now until next month.
Oh, jeez.
I know, it's the longest period of time from someone passing to a funeral that I've ever experienced, but it's his birthday, so I guess that's the way his, you know, from a different marriage, his daughter, like, you know, whatever, she wanted to do it on his birthday.
Okay.
Like, we full, you know, all respect, like, we can do that, whatever. So, yeah, it's just kind of usually you think of someone passing and you're right away that within the next couple of weeks, a funeral, but it's not going to be like that. So that does free me up a little bit, I guess. But it'll be next month on the 20th, I believe, is when we're going to do it now. But
interesting.
Yeah, it was an odd one. But last weekend was we're still just taking blow after blow from life, man. But we're not letting it waver us at all.
Nope.
Me and Jess are still fucking standing tall.
Hell yeah.
We're still, you know, I mean, and everything that we are fighting right now, we're going to win.
Yeah.
So it's just time and, you know, timing.
Yeah.
It's just we have a lot to do in the meantime. But, like, we know the end game is going to be us on the victory side.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. But what the fuck?
Call it. Yeah. Is that, there it is. We'll call it.
All right. But anyway, Lou, I will. today is, what is it, Friday?
Friday.
Give me till tomorrow morning, dude. If you, I don't know, are you posting this tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, post it tonight. If you do listen to it tonight, and don't listen to it at like 7 in the morning. But I will call you tomorrow morning, buddy. My bad. It's
Bradley's a part of the show sometimes. Really part of the show. Like, not even just in, but it's
no, funny. Dude, it's just like, and he's like one of the few people I've kept in touch with throughout the years. And, like, it's not fair to him to always have to be the guy to call me.
Yeah.
Like, I've been trying to be the guy to be able to call somebody once in a while. Like, I'm just always waiting on people to call me, and it's just ain't fair to them at
all. Two-way street, right?
Yeah. And, like, so I don't know, man. It's been a fuck of a, like, this whole beginning of this year, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like this for everybody listening, but, dude, it's like everywhere I turn, there's either death and destruction in other people's lives.
Yeah.
And ours is hard, but it's, trust me, I'm guaranteeing you, there's plenty of people out there with having a harder year than us.
Yeah.
So we just count our blessings and try to keep our chin up.
Yeah.
Because I know it could be worse. So we're just going to not bitch about it. But, like, you know, there are reasons for everything out there, man.
I believe
that. I will get a hold of you.
There you go. I believe everything happens for a reason. So keep trucking.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Have a good one. Peace.
Bye for now.
Woo!